Random House Audio presents Tune In, The Beatles, All These Years, Volume 1 by Mark Lewison. Read for you by Clive Mantle, with the introduction and prologue by the author.
Introduction. Every once in a while, life conjures up a genuine ultimate. It can be said without fear of hyperbole, this is what the Beatles were and are. And 50-plus years after they leapt into view, 50, there's little hint it's going to change. So many would-be successors have come and gone, there's now an acceptance that no one can be bigger or better. John Winston Lennon, James Paul McCartney, George Harrison and Richard Starkey hold on strong, universally acknowledged as a cultural force, still somehow current and woven into the fabric of modern lives. John, Paul, George and Ringo. The four Liverpool lads who pumped the heart of the decade that also won't shut up, the 1960s. If it was necessary to sell the Beatles, you could point to many achievements, but their music underpins everything. One game-changing album after another and one game-changing single after another. 214 tracks recorded in 7 crowded years in a kaleidoscope of styles. This music is known, loved, respected, discussed, imitated, cherished and studied. It continues to inspire new artists and be reshaped impressively in every genre. Its song titles and words are adapted for headlines in 21st century media, quoted and folded into everyday vocabulary, chanted in football stadiums. Infused with the Beatles' energy and personalities, this music still lifts the spirit and is passed joyfully from generation to generation. Clearly, something special happened here. But what? How? Consider, too, how the Beatles repeatedly married cutting-edge originality with immense mainstream popularity, when for almost anyone else these are mutually exclusive, and how and why they ditched their winning ideas every time the world raced to copy them. Consider how they did everything with down-to-earth humour, honesty, optimism, style, charisma, irreverence, intelligence, and a particularly spiky disdain for falseness. How they were articulate, bold, curious, direct, instinctive, challenging, blunt, sharp, polite, rude, prickers of pomposity, rule-breakers never cowed by convention. And consider how they created a profound and sustained connection to their public, and how they resisted branding, commercial sponsorship and corporate affiliation and hype. The Beatles were free of artifice and weren't the product of market research or focus groups or TV talent shows. They were original and developed organically when everyone was looking the other way. I've been waiting for the book this sweeping story demands, one that stares unflinchingly at how it all happened and what it was all about. A book to shoot adrenaline back into extraordinary events crushed under the weight of 50 years telling, and not always very good telling at that. I've wanted a history of deep-level inquiry, where the information is tested accurate and free of airbrushing, embellishment and guesswork, written with an open mind and even hands, one that unfolds lives and events in context and without hindsight, the way they occurred, and sets the Beatles fully among their contemporaries. They never existed in isolation and were always part of musical scenes with friends and rivals, young Turks together in clubs and nightclubs. I've also wanted a book that explains how the society that shaped the Beatles first received them and was then shaped by them, that looks at how John, Paul, George and Ringo dealt with each other as friends and bandmates, and how they so deftly handled the media and such phenomenal celebrity. I've wanted it shown how they transformed the worldwide music industry and shook global youth culture awake and induced a revolution in how people listened to and played music. The Beatles didn't invent the electric guitar and weren't the first guitar group, but every rock band since 1963 is fulfilling their legacy, especially if they write their own songs. In 2003, I decided to have a go. As a professional historian researcher who had worked around and sometimes for the Beatles for 30 years, I could draw on long periods of access to the right people and resources. Beyond that, I was aware that mountains of unfound knowledge, vibrant colour, vital details, were out there if you knew where to look. But one book? Way too much irrelevance and interest happened in and around the Beatles to fit into one book. This is a richly epic tale. Cramming it into a single volume would mean cutting reams of material essential to the understanding. This book, Tune In, is the first in a trilogy titled All These Years that I hope will do the subject justice. It is, at any rate, my best shot. It's an objective and independent three-volume series that begins at the beginning and will go on until it reaches the end. Primary sources are central, an array of research discoveries and every conceivable form of archive document found in private and public hands. Letters, contracts, photos, recordings, and so much more, and this story has a fantastically rich paper trail, augmented entirely by direct quotes. I'm tracking whatever was said by the Beatles and those close to them to anyone at any time, and there are hundreds of frank and revealing interviews unused since they were carried out. I've also traced and talked to hundreds of authentic witnesses, many of them overlooked until now. George Harrison's cautionary words are a constant companion. In their bid to tell what they know, sometimes people tell more than what they know. But fictions fall quicker through the sieve. It's been a continually surprising experience. I've likened the challenge, which is ongoing, to assembling a multi-million piece jigsaw puzzle of lives and moments. The more pieces you have and can place right where they belong, where they really fit, the clearer the picture becomes both in vivid close-up and broadly detailed context. Tune In takes the Beatles from before their childhoods right up to the final night of 1962, when, after packing several years into the previous three, they know success is theirs to grasp, but have no clue they're on the cusp of a whole new kind of fame, a white-hot and ever-royal celebrity. These, then, are the formative years, the less visible years, the pre-madness years, and in many respects the most absorbing and entertaining period of them all. This can also be claimed for the others, of course. What the research yells loudly is that the Beatles didn't begin to be remarkable when they upped and took over Britain, or, all the more amazingly, America and the rest of the world, and that they didn't suddenly become funny when they filmed A Hard Day's Night, or beguiling when recording Rubber Soul. It shouts that their compelling urge to move on fast, to innovate and progress, didn't start with Revolver or Sgt. Pepper, or even when, in the last chapters of this book, their first record came out. Everything was already revved up and running in the halls, houses and streets of an exceptional city, the only place these people could have come from, the only place these events could have happened, Liverpool, that great matrix of Anglo-Celtic alchemy. From her Second World War bomb sites rose a thriving live music scene the like of which existed nowhere else, a scene in which the Beatles were sharper, smarter, faster, funnier than their many rivals, and where they also polished, well before they had hits, that tightly engaged relationship with their public. In other words, those later world-changing Beatles are these Beatles, just lesser known, local, not global. They're the same blokes with the same instinctive, intuitive originality and humour, the same bluntness and abhorrence of sham, living the present to the full, and sowing seeds that would flower later. Again, though, how? I've tried to thread together the lives and relationships of John, Paul, George, Richie, Stuart, Pete, Brian Epstein, George Martin, and other crucial players. Everyone is in their context, and worlds run on parallel and occasionally interweaving tracks before properly connecting, characters creating the circumstances to dictate an outcome. The Lennon and McCartney partnership is one among many deep explorations, told thoroughly in their words and deeds. George and Ringo were essential to the Beatles, but John and Paul drove the bus and wrote the catalogue, and theirs is an especially fascinating tale. Two needle-sharp grammar school boys and then young men, steeped in post-war British culture, but with a passion for America and its great music. Close friends with a deep admiration for each other's talent and understanding of each other's moods and personalities. Their determination, their egos and their creative rivalry made them the greatest songwriters of the age, and I've tried to show how it began. The Beatles manifestly rejected labels and categories in all they did, so it doesn't matter.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?